Now, Terry is going to bring our first reading to us, which are readings from the lectionary for today.
The reading is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 22. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek your young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted, because they are no more." Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead." Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judah instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee.
Well, I've got a diary here, a 2018 diary. There are lots of interesting things in the diary, lots of information that we can glean. We know, for example, what currency is used in Algeria. Anyone know that? And things like that, national holidays in all different countries of the world. I wonder what we use a diary for. Can you tell me what does your mum and dad use a diary for? Any ideas? To write stuff in, yeah. What sort of stuff? Things that are going to happen, yeah. Do you know, my wife Sue, I don't know how long it takes, about 2 days to write up her diary of all the things that she needs to bring forward from her previous diary. People like things like birthdays and stuff like that. Does anyone else do that? Yeah. Does it take you as long? what other things? Let's open it out. What other things do you use a diary for? Right, reminders, dentists, doctors, yeah. Right, it's done, yeah. Well, I've written a few things in this diary for next year. I'll just tell you what I've written, shall I, so far. Right, next week. Play golf. The following week, play golf. The following week, go on holiday. Week after that, play golf. And so it goes on. Some people think that I only ever play golf and go on holiday, but that's not quite strictly true. But we use a diary for all sorts of things, don't we? And we plan ahead. We plan for things that are going to come up over the course of the year. so that we don't forget them, which is just as very good. Do you think Joseph and Mary planned to take Jesus so soon after he was born into Egypt? Do you think they would have written it in their diary? Don't think so, do you? And although it's not mentioned in the Bible, I think we can reasonably assume that Mary may have ridden on a donkey down into Egypt. And thanks to Ian Cotterill, we know the name of the donkey. Because it says in Joseph's dream, Joseph was told to take Mary and the baby and flee into Egypt. And I love the story, which some of you know and have heard before, but about a teacher who asked her class to draw a picture of the flight into Egypt. And one little boy drew an aeroplane. And the teacher said, "Well, could you explain to me what your picture is about?" So he held up the picture and he said, "Well, there's Joseph and there's Mary and there's the baby Jesus and that's Pontius the pilot." The derisive notes are the ones who've already heard it before, I think. But there is also a lovely legend about their journey. It's about the penitent thief whose name was Didymus, who hung with Jesus on the cross. It tells that he didn't meet Jesus for the first time on the cross. And when Joseph and Mary were on their way down into Egypt, they were waylaid by a band of robbers. And the robbers' chief wanted to kill them all straight away and steal their little store of provisions. But something about the baby Jesus spoke to the heart of Didymus, who was one of the robbers, and he wouldn't allow any harm to come to Jesus or his parents. He looked at Jesus and said, "O most blessed of children, if ever there come a time for having mercy on me, then remember me and forget not this hour." And so the legend says that Jesus and Didymus met again at Calvary, and Didymus on the cross found forgiveness and mercy. Whether or not that legend is true, it nevertheless does contain a great truth that whatever our circumstances, we should seek to do good. It's what Jesus taught throughout his ministry. We may get very despondent about our world and the seeming triumph of evil over good, but the birth, the life and death of Jesus teaches us that ultimately the opposite is true. In his resurrection, Jesus showed that whatever evil people are capable of, love and goodness will ultimately triumph. And we can't change the world, but we can do our little bit and show the love of Jesus in our lives. And so, as we start a new year tomorrow, let's remember the words of Paul in Colossians chapter 3. "And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus." And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Our second reading now is going to be led for us by Jackie.
This is Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10 to 18. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers in the presence of the congregation. I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says, here am I and the children God has given me. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, and that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not the angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted.
The history of the chosen people of Israel was nothing if not checkered. There were many periods of fighting against neighbouring nations with much persecution and bloodshed. On two occasions, the bulk of the nation was forced to leave their homeland and be removed into exile into another country. Two Kings records that in the northern kingdom of Samaria, the then king was cheating on the king of Assyria. And so Shalmaneser, the king of Assyria, invaded Samaria and removed the Israelites to Assyria. And that took place around about the year 734 BC. Jeremiah records that in 586 BC, the southern kingdom of Judah was invaded by Nebuchadnezzar, and the people once again taken by force into exile. And I think it could also be argued, when the Israelites followed Joseph into Egypt to escape from famine much earlier, that although in the early years they were well looked after, yet for the bulk of the 400 years that they were in Egypt, they were treated very harshly and persecuted, which I think perhaps we could say is another form of exile. As well as facing exile, the Israelite nation, as I've said, faced much persecution. And this gave rise to what is called the diaspora, which is Greek for dispersion. This meant that many of the Jews were scattered across the world and set up colonies where they settled and made a living. It's recorded that as early as the 5th century BC, there was a Jewish settlement in southern Egypt. And in the 3rd century BC, there was a Jewish settlement in Alexandria, comprising some 1 million Jews. So what's this history lesson leading up to? Well, if we return to the story of the Holy Family being told to go down into Egypt to flee the tyranny and cruelty of Herod, it was not something new. And although in an alien land, they would not necessarily have been amongst strangers. It's very likely that they would have settled in one of the colonies in Egypt. And Joseph would have perhaps found profitable work in his trade as a carpenter. So from a very early age, Jesus was a refugee. And although 2,000 years have since passed, the problem of refugees is still with us. It's estimated that in the year 2016, which is the latest that the figures are available, there were 65.8 million refugees worldwide. 65.8 million. That's approximately the population of this country. And you can see up on the screens what a refugee camp looks like. Pretty horrendous, isn't it? Over 4 million people have fled from Syria during the current conflict. 3 million fled from Zimbabwe at the persecution of Robert Mugabe. And the latest crisis in Myanmar has seen 750,000 Muslims flee genocide into Bangladesh. Just 10 countries host over one half of the world's refugees. But those 10 countries account for a mere 2.5% of the global economy. These are pretty frightening statistics indeed. And the sadness is that the human race seems to have learned nothing since that little family made their way into a foreign land. And that's where I'd like to link the story of the flight into Egypt with our second reading from Hebrews. Because verse 10 of that reading says this: in bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Jesus was the author, or the pioneer, of the blessings of God that we can enter into. He blazed a trail to God so that we might follow in his footsteps. And what qualified him to be the author or the trailblazer? Well, it was through suffering that Jesus was made fit for purpose. Hebrews is at pains to make it clear that Jesus identified himself completely with us. He knew the physical pain of his terrible death. He knew grief in the loss of a loved one, loneliness of 40 days in the wilderness, responsibility of caring for his mother and siblings, doing a full day's work. I also think that he would have keenly felt the constant criticism and enmity of the Jewish leaders throughout his ministry, who were blind to the truth and sought to destroy him. In Greek society, their philosophy, their beliefs were that their gods were completely detached from human beings. They were disinterested. They were only interested in their own games and their own pleasure. If God had shown himself in that way, in a detached way, as the Greeks would have it, he would have not been able to call himself our Saviour. But no, the Christian ideal, the Christian philosophy, is one of identification. Jesus became as one with us, suffered as we do, and therefore had a rightful claim to be our Saviour. And Jesus identifies himself with the plight of refugees, of the homeless and vulnerable. As the old chorus says, he walks with me, he talks with me along life's narrow way. Perhaps 2017 has been a difficult year for you. Perhaps a good year, or perhaps one you would like to forget. One thing for sure is that we don't know what 2018 has in store for each of us. But what it can have is Jesus alongside us, walking with us and talking with us. So in what positive ways can he be of help to us as a church and as individuals? Well, firstly, as a church, the next 12 months could be a very exciting year. Who knows? But maybe this service next year will be led by our new minister, rather than by an old codger like me. Let's pray that Jesus will lead us in this very important task, and that he will give our leaders the strength and the wisdom they need. And secondly, Jesus has shown his total commitment to us by becoming like us in every respect. So let us, in this coming year, show our commitment to him. Over the next few days, perhaps we should stop and think what that should mean for each of us. Are we an active member of this church, his body? Are we seeking to live our lives closer to him each day? These are important questions for us to consider as we enter this new year. And make your prayer each morning that verse of Paul from Colossians. We changed it slightly. Whatever I do in word or deed, I do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever I do in word or deed, may I do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.